Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Bound for Canaan, The Underground Railroad and the War for the Soul of America by Fergus M. Bordewick, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez. This book is copyrighted 2005 by Fergus M. Bordewick. This recording is copyrighted 2006 by Recorded Books. The Civil War may have brought to a climax America's bitter division, but the beginnings of slavery's denouement can be traced to a courageous band of ordinary Americans, black and white, slave and free, who joined forces to create what would come to be known as the Underground Railroad. And now, Bound for Canaan.
Introduction. The year is 1844 or 1845. The night air is acrid, as it always is in Madison, Indiana, with the smell of the slaughterhouses and tanneries that line the north shore of the Ohio River. It is almost 10 o'clock, and in this era before electricity, the darkness is profound. The barber has done what he was told. He is alone on the street corner. He waits with the nearly killing anxiety of a man who is about to commit a crime. He is a slave, and he is about to steal himself. The barber had been working in Madison and sending his earnings back to his master in Kentucky, a common enough arrangement in the border states. He could walk away from the corner, he knew. He could go home, abandon hope of escape, get along somehow as a slave, and stay safe, in a way. But he could not forget George de Baptist's words to him. "Aren't you ashamed? You, a man able to make money and take care of yourself with a good trade, young, strong, and a man all over, if you were only a mind to be calling another man your master, like a dog, paying over to him your wages?" At 10 o'clock, steps approach, and a black man slips from the shadows. He tells the barber to walk to the roadbed where the new railway is to be laid north from Madison. When he gets to it, he is to walk north until he reaches the post that marks the second mile, and then whistle twice. The barber follows the instructions. He is leaving an entire life behind and walking into the unknown. He is attuned to every rustle, click, and murmur of life in the night, straining for the sounds of feet in pursuit. It is a hard place for blacks, this southern edge of Indiana. White vigilantes sometimes attack blacks in their homes, in Madison. Slave catchers prowl the back country hunting runaways. The barber knows, as every fugitive knows, that at any moment his break for freedom may turn into a disaster. At the 2-mile marker, the barber screws up his courage and whistles. Another black man slips from the woods with a gun at the ready. "Walk another 2 miles," he tells the barber, and falls into step behind him. At the next appointed spot, a second armed man appears and orders him to walk 2 more miles, with the 2 gunmen now following behind him. The drill is repeated 4 times until the barber is surrounded by 8 armed men. 16 miles beyond Madison, instead of another gunman, there is a wagon waiting. Into it the barber climbs, and for the first time during that long night, perhaps, he begins to breathe normally again. Ahead of him lie the welcoming farms of white Presbyterian and Quaker farmers, of free blacks who do not fear the writs and guns of slave hunters, and his own freedom. George de Baptist, the man who prompted the barber's elaborate escape, who executed it, who ensured that even if the fugitive's party was discovered, it was carrying enough firepower to defend itself, was also, as it happened, a barber. He was also the secret head of the local Underground Railroad. In some respects, de Baptist was a very ordinary man, about 30 years old at the time, well known to everyone in Madison as a respectable member of the town's small free black middle class. Unknown to them, almost every day of his life, he tested the limits to which a black man would be allowed to go in the deeply racist America of the 1840s. It was dangerous enough for radical white abolitionists.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?